Welcome to Direct Line with Greg Taylor and Stephanie Spangler. Direct Line, religious topics without preaching, mixing politics and religion and not shying away from controversy. You're not going to find all your answers, but you will always find an opinion. This is Direct Line. And now your hosts, Greg Taylor and Stephanie Spangler.
Well, good morning and welcome to Direct Line on this Wednesday morning, April 17th. Did you get your taxes filed, Greg?
I did. I didn't do it till like April 5th, but 10 days ahead. How about you?
I think I did it in February. I don't know.
Okay.
But I didn't pay it until, I got them done, but yeah. I didn't pay them until, you know,
I didn't have to pay.
Well, lucky you.
Got a little bit back.
But lucky you.
We had to pay when we were like 27 and broke and early, you know, new parents. And I have always been over the top with the withholding since.
Yeah.
So.
Well, such a blessing to live in the United States and get to pay our taxes. And I mean that honestly. I mean, it is a blessing to live in the United
States.
It
is. So, I agree.
This morning, we're going to be talking about... What month is it? Second Chance Month. Second Chance Month.
Yeah, and that's not just something at Second Church. That's a nationwide reality.
Initiative.
Yeah.
Yeah, we learned about it this past Sunday, or at least I learned about it this past Sunday when we had Jermaine Wilson, a guest speaker. And
Think of Jermaine?
Very passionate, very well-spoken, a great communicator.
Yeah.
And so I wondered where he got those skills.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah. It makes
you
wonder.
He spent some time in prison, federal prison in Leavenworth, Kansas. Is that correct?
Well, Lansing Prison, which is right there. But he actually spent 4 years in juvie before that.
Okay.
And we've got in studio with us Dr. Dale Daniil. And I missed the memo.
Oh.
The white shirt memo.
Yes.
You know, I'm wearing purple and you're both wearing white. But Dale, you were really instrumental in both Second Chance Month becoming a reality at Second Church, but also getting Jermaine Wilson to Second Church. Tell us the story behind that.
Well, I can't take a lot of credit for that because I got a call from Dean Crandall, and he was at a conference in Orlando in February. And he had just sat through this remarkable speaker that captured his attention, Jermaine Wilson, who was a mayor of Leavenworth, Kansas.
Yes.
And told his story, quite a remarkable story, you know, from having been in juvenile detention for 4 years. You know, the whole family cyclical crime and imprisonment, generational type thing that was going on. And, you know, when Jermaine actually ended up in prison and came in contact with Prison Fellowship Ministry, his life was changed as they introduced, you know, Jesus Christ to him. Mm-hmm. And through a program called the Prison Fellowship Academy.
Which I'd never heard of till Sunday.
No, I had.
But I'm really intrigued by it.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, so Dean had contacted me and said, he said, I think we ought to get Jermaine Wilson to come to Second Church for a Second Chance Month. And I'm kind of like you guys are going, Second Chance what? I wasn't familiar with Second Chance Month. And so I looked it up and read about it and I said, absolutely, that would be fantastic. And not that I'm, you know, unfamiliar with the whole concept of Second Chance. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm involved with the CORE organization, which is really about giving second chances to formerly incarcerated individuals, those who are either on parole or probation, helping set them up for successful reentry and back into community. So, but anyway, I thought it was a fabulous weekend, summer, and then, or Sunday, and then he also spoke at Danville Correctional Center.
That was fantastic.
Yeah.
Steph, I wish you could have been there.
Me
it
too.
Was in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And normally when we do chapel, you've been in with us many times when we do chapel, we're in that smaller kind of classroom setting. They let us have the gym and they set up, what would you guess? 125 to 130?
Yes.
I mean, there's a lot of men that came.
Yeah.
It was hot. You know, I don't know if you remember Sunday was a hot day. That's not air conditioned. Yeah. Jermaine was just sweating like crazy. But we saw in him, I mean, I thought he was great at Second Church.
Yeah.
He was on fire in the prison.
Yeah.
And the men just connected with him. You know, you could tell he understood their reality, mm-hmm. and they were connecting with mm-hmm. him. And he didn't really reveal that he'd become the mayor of Leavenworth till the very end.
And how did they respond?
Oh, they went crazy.
It was fantastic. Yeah. He spoke the language. He knew what to say to really connect with them. And mm-hmm. and so by the time that Jermaine actually was able to speak, he only had 30 minutes.
Right. Yeah.
And he kept watching the clock. He was very good in his communication mm-hmm, skills mm-hmm. and watching the time. And he finished right on the dot.
Yeah.
Before the guys had to be released. But man, it was an amazing, amazing, inspirational presentation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's wonderful. For me, what I loved, just the more I got to know him, is you never know what you're getting when you bring in mm-hmm. a guest preacher. I trust Dean. Dean's one of our DL sponsors, mm-hmm. by the way. Mm-hmm. And I knew that, Dean's not going to recommend somebody that's not, legit. But he's speaking this coming Sunday at Mark Batterson's church in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
I mean, that's big time, And just to think that we were blessed to have mm-hmm. Jermaine, share at Second Church. And I know you and I both talked to him. Come back. We'd love to have you come back. And I just loved the message of hope for the hopeless. Mm-hmm. And yet the reality is there's probably some people that are listening right now and they love Jesus with all their heart and they hear prison ministry and they just get a little uneasy about it. Steph, I've shared with you, first time I shared about mm-hmm. this on a Sunday morning live stream, my mom reached out to me with, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. And I wish more people could experience what we experience mm-hmm. on a Thursday mm-hmm. evening, what we experience mm-hmm. on a Sunday afternoon. Well, hey, we're going to go to break. When we come back, I want to dedicate the second segment to CORE. Now, Dale, you were with us earlier this winter with Ricky Williams Sr., and you guys talked a little bit about it, but there's been some movement with CORE, and the more I lean into Second Chance Month, the more I realize CORE might be the most important thing that we talk about, because mm-hmm. It doesn't do any good to get someone paroled mm-hmm. if they turn around and mm-hmm. go back to prison. And I know CORE is just passionate about really reducing the rate of recidivism. It is Direct Line. You're listening on Wednesday, April 17, Greg and Steph with Dr. Dale Daniil from Second Church, and we will be right back after this.
Hans Tank Wash is proud to support the Women's Care Clinic. Let's hear now from Interim Co-Director Mariah Hansen.
Women's Care Clinic in Danville provides the love and support every woman deserves during pregnancy. The best news is all our services are free. Free pregnancy tests, free ultrasounds for pregnancy confirmation, and even free consultations with medical professionals. And that's not all. We offer parenting education, mentoring for moms and dads, and help with adoption planning. We also work closely with many community agencies for all the support our families need. More than anything, Women's Care Clinic offers hope, compassion, and care to our clients of every age and background. We'd love to have you join us. To learn more, volunteer, or make a gift, visit danvillewcc.org or call 217-431-0987. Women's Care Clinic in Danville, changing lives one decision at a time.
Hi, I'm Linda Darby, and I'm part of the third generation of Darbys to own Sunset Funeral Home in Memorial Park. Since the 1960s, our family has been proud to serve Vermilion County by providing unmatched dedication and personalized service to families.
And I'm Ross Darby. I'm part of the fourth generation in our family business. I want to introduce you to Hall of Fame plaques and signs. We promise to provide you with the same level of service at our sign shop that you've grown accustomed to at our funeral homes and cemetery. With a name like Hall of Fame,
it's gonna be great!
Robinson Chiropractic wants you to know that you're never too young or old to benefit from chiropractic care. Robinson Chiropractic can help increase your mobility and range of motion. Plus, regular alignments just make you feel better. Come get acquainted today. Robinson Chiropractic is located at the corner of Vermilion and Poland Road in Danville, also in Hoopston, Westville, and Watsika. Make an appointment today at robchiro.com. That's robchiro.com.
You're listening to Direct Line on 1490 WDAN.
Welcome back to Direct Line. It's Wednesday, April 17. Greg and Steph with Dale Daniil from Second Church. And Steph, we're in year 5. Dale was mentioning Dean Crandall, who's one of our awesome sponsors. Who are we saying thank you to?
Well, along with Dean and Gina Crandall with Morgan Stanley, the team at Hans Tank Wash, the Darby family with Sunset Funeral Home, Don and Deanna Witzel with McDonald's, Chris and Dacia Robinson with Robinson Chiropractic, and Bill and Mary Lou Knight with Lakewood Insurance.
So Dale Daniil, let's talk CORE. What is the CORE Reentry Program?
Yes, so CORE is a program that was started by Michael Braun. Michael was incarcerated at Danville Correctional Center and was part of a team that helped create a peer-led mentoring program inside of Danville Correctional Center. And CORE is a program that he created, which stands for Community Opportunity Resources and Employment. And it helps individuals previously incarcerated, those who are on probation or parole, it helps them in the reentry program. You know, one of the things that Jermaine said in his testimony this weekend, that the two most difficult things that he had when he got out of prison was finding housing and employment. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. You know, there are so many laws on the book that actually create these enormous barriers for individuals who are trying to reenter into the community. And housing is a big one.
That's right.
Another one is employment. And as you could imagine, that, you know, individuals that are faced with those kinds of barriers can quickly become very disenchanted and discouraged, and that's where recidivism actually usually happens because of because of those kinds of issues that they can't overcome.
That's right.
You know, I was really impressed. It was early March. You and Michael Braun hosted a luncheon at DAC.
Yes.
And I think Vermilion Advantage made that happen. But the statistics that Michael shared that day were just eye-opening, that when you're able to help someone that is coming out of prison get a legitimate place to stay, affordable housing, and a legitimate job where they're able to pay their bills, recidivism goes down, I mean, exponentially.
Yes.
It's just unbelievable.
It's significant. And, you know, one of the stats that Michael mentioned, or Michael Braun and Jermaine mentioned it too, was that one in three individuals in our country are justice impacted or have a criminal record that could adversely affect them, for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
And so, one of the stats that Michael mentioned, that by the year 2030, there'll be probably over 100,000 people. 100 million people who have been incarcerated, justice impacted.
Yeah.
And so when you look at the third of your population, and you're so many companies around Vermilion County are trying to find workers.
Right.
And so the workforce is impacted by that. And of course, a lot of the laws often, or policies, company policies, prevent them from hiring those individuals.
I have a question. It was not on this sheet, and you might not know the answer, but if someone, do most of the people that come out of Danville Correctional Center, are they moving other places, or do they stay here and try to find housing and jobs?
That's a great question. No, most parole out to other locations. There's actually, very few from Vermilion County who are actually incarcerated at Danville Correctional Center. There are some, but I think generally speaking, that they're usually are placed in another facility away from Vermilion County.
So then why does it matter for Vermilion County to be doing this? Why does CORE matter here?
Well, because actually those individuals, regardless of where they are incarcerated, come back to Vermilion County. And so currently there's, roughly around 300 to 400 individuals that are on probation or parole in Vermilion County.
And not necessarily from Danville Correctional Center, just different places. Yeah.
Correct,
so those
correct.
Are the people that you're trying to help so that they don't get into trouble again.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You know, since I was here, we were actually working on a video that we actually premiered at Danville Area Community College.
Excellent. And, excellent.
And it tells the story of Randy. I'm not going to say his last name here, you can see the video on the website for corereentry.org. And check that out, because it tells the story of three of the individuals that CORE is working with, our clients.
And if you don't want to go find it, you can see the video at Second Church this Sunday. Is that right?
That's exactly right. Right? Even better yet.
Come to church.
Come this and get the theater experience to be able to watch it. But, you know, there's a story there of Randy. And Randy grew up in Westville.
Okay.
And committed a crime, was sentenced for 75 years prison, and for this crime, and he actually was released after 30 years, and so he was 17 when he went into prison, 48 when he came out, and so he's trying to readjust. Can you imagine? Think about the changes that have happened socially and technologically, you know, and trying to make those kinds of adjustments. But, you know, one of the other things that happened is that Randy's family, who lives in this area, they reached out to CORE. In fact, they were the first ones that they heard about a program that CORE does for families that's called RAISE.
Okay.
And it's specifically designed to help families of incarcerated individuals also adjust to this reentry. And in the video, we actually interview Randy's brother and Randy's mother, and they talk about the challenges that they realized they were going to face when Randy was going to come home.
Yeah.
And so it's a great story.
Yeah.
And they've become great supporters of CORE check out that story.
So what are some of the greatest needs of CORE right now at this moment?
Yeah.
What do they need?
Well, our greatest need right now is just financial support because we're a brand new organization. We're a year and a half old. We currently have, 20 to 25 clients that we're working with. We have one case manager that's handling that. And Selena Jones, by the way, is our case manager. She does a wonderful job. And so, you know, having individuals that are trained to interact and to coach and to counsel with our clients is really our biggest need. And so being able to, you know, pay Selena's salary and support. And Michael Braun, of course, is our executive director for the organization. And while he's out looking for grants to support the organization, individuals could go online to corereentry.org, and there's a place where you could contribute to that and make a financial contribution to the organization. Be greatly appreciated.
Yeah. So Sunday at Second Church, we're going to roll out the CORE video. You guys will have a table. Is that right?
In
the Commons.
Yes.
If you're part of a different church, you can always catch this on our live stream. You know, it's something that you'll be able to see. Talk a little bit about other church opportunities, other individual opportunities. Are there opportunities for others that are not a part of Second Church to be involved in the CORE? I mean, the funding, obviously. Are there other ways that they can help?
Well, I mean, again, funding is a primary
need.
It's the primary need. And, you know, being able to help fund the salaries for a case manager, and we need to hire another case manager. These are individuals who are trained.
Yeah.
And know really how to speak to the needs and understand the needs of those who've been incarcerated.
What about business owners that are looking to hire people?
Yeah.
Do they reach out to you guys and say, we want to work with, formerly incarcerated?
Yes. I think that's an excellent point, Stephanie, because, if you're an employer and you're looking for individuals to fill your workforce, give us a call, because we can. In fact, if I could, Randy works for the Palmer Arena, so he got a job with the Palmer Arena. And of course, when we were there for Easter at the arena. Randy was there, you know, was kind of the primary point person and,
a lot
and
of help.
Working. Yeah. You know, he did a fabulous job.
Yeah.
And you know, those at the arena talked to, you know, talked about Randy and what a dedicated, hardworking individual that Randy was, Randy is.
And I think of Christian business owners that can make a difference in people's lives. Not only are you providing a paycheck, but you can provide almost like mentoring, accountability. Guidance. I think about someone who, if they were 17 when they went into prison and came out at 48, they don't have a resume. I mean, they have a big gap of time there that they have to account for.
I mean,
while I'm sure there are skills that are learned in prison and can be used, I'm not discounting that, but I would think that a Christian business owner might look at that and say, I can give this person a second chance as well.
And you're absolutely correct. Yeah, that would be a big help.
I had a really cool encounter Sunday after third service. I had one of our members and her teenage son come up and just really moved by Jermaine and just the whole morning. And she was talking about how she wants to get involved. And I said, well, you know, that's awesome. Chapel, you know, we've got a pretty good team that's going to the chapel services once a month. And then I said, but come back next week because we're going to talk about CORE. And she said, well, what is CORE? And I told her, and she said, that's amazing. My husband and I both work in HR. I said, don't miss church on
that's
Sunday.
That's fantastic.
So, hey, we're going to wrap this segment in a minute. But before we do that, Stephanie, you got a lot on your plate. You're a grandma. You got a lot happening. Why do you take time to be a part of prison ministry?
Well, I guess because I grew up in Covington and came to school and church in Danville, and for years drove past that facility and just always kept my eyes forward and just kept driving on the road. And then when the opportunity came to go in, I thought, I need to take this opportunity. This is not just a building.
Yeah.
There are real people in there.
Yeah.
And I did it because I felt like I needed to do it just to open my eyes to what's there on that side of the road. It's not just a building. And so every time I get to go in, I'm just amazed at the kindness of the guys, the gratefulness of the men, their desire to learn and grow and be better people.
Yeah.
And that's no different than the rest of us.
Right.
I mean, that's what I want for my own kids and grandkids. So it just was an opportunity for me to go in a place that I've just driven past all my life and see it in a different way.
Yeah. Dale, same question for you. You got a lot on your plate. You're a busy man. Why do you take time for prison ministry?
I think it makes an incredible impact on people's lives, especially at Danville Correctional Center. My first introduction to prison ministry was back at Johnson University. When I was a student, I became of a program called Offender Aid and Restoration. I actually still have my ID card, my picture ID card from that.
Did you hear?
I did. In fact, I look like Serpico in that picture. But that introduction really sets a seed in my heart for ministering to those who are incarcerated. And I think it's a rich field for planning the gospel and for transformation and change. Yeah. And I'm glad our church is involved in it.
Hey, last thing before we go to break, happy birthday.
You
just had a birthday.
You.
Was it Friday?
It was.
Was it a big one?
It was a big birthday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You so, like a zero on the end?
I think five on the end.
There was a five on the end?
There was a five.
But you don't look it, man. Seriously.
Well,
do you feel it sometimes?
No. You know, I'm usually in denial about, you know, how old I really am.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Hey,
we're going
to go to break. When we come back, I've got some articles that I want to talk to you guys about that caught my attention. You're listening to Direct Line. It is Wednesday, April 17. Greg and Steph with Dale Daniil from Second Church. We'll be right back after this.
You want to be confident that your investments are working for you. Wouldn't it be nice to know that you don't have to go far for the guidance to help make that happen? Dean Crandall works right here in Danville at Morgan Stanley's local office. As your financial advisor, Dean can help create a wealth plan and help you manage your investments, and he can help you work towards a comfortable retirement too. To make an appointment with Dean Crandall, call 217-477-0025. Morgan Stanley Smith Marney LLC. Member SIPC.
Lakewood Insurance Agency can fulfill your farm and business insurance needs. As a result of our expertise in the insurance industry, we carefully examine your current coverages and recommend options best for your operation. Whether we insure you domestically or directly with Lloyd's of London, Lakewood has the experience to provide the best insurance for you. Service is most important in our agency. Bill and Mary Lou Knight and Justin Silver have your best interests at heart. Find Lakewood Insurance Agency on Facebook or call 217-260-5647.
This is Deanna from the Witzel Family McDonald's. Our family and staff enjoy being a part of your family's lives. From a stop at McDonald's on your way to work or planning a lunch with friends or coworkers, we understand
you need quick and friendly service with hot and fresh food. I'm Don Witzel. We strive to fill that need every day. Whether you're on your way home
from school or work, the Witzel Family McDonald's are waiting to serve you an afternoon snack or family dinner. This is Rob Witzel, along with my wife, Haley. We're thrilled to now be
serving our customers in Covington, Indiana. As a member of the family, we're proud of the team's
commitment to all of our customers and communities of the Witzel Family McDonald's in Covington, Danville, Georgetown, Hoopston, and Oakwood. This is Jason Spencer. Along with my wife, Katie, we invite you to stop
by your favorite Witzel Family McDonald's today. At McDonald's, we're a part of every community.
Now is a great time to join the Witzel Family McDonald's team. Competitive compensation, flexible hours, and locations across the area make McDonald's a smart choice. Apply today at McHire.com. That's M-C-H-I-R-E.com. Joining the Witzel Family McDonald's team is only a click away.
You're listening to Direct Line on 1490 WDAN.
Well, welcome back to Direct Line. It's Greg and Steph with Dale Daniil. It is Wednesday, April 17. I want to talk a little bit about some of the things that are happening at Second Church this month. I want to look back to the ladies' spring brunch. And Dale, your wife Donna was a major player in that. And Stephanie, you were really involved in it. I snuck in at the end and you were kind of doing the MC thing. So tell us a little bit about the ladies' spring brunch.
Well, Donna is incredibly organized and creative, and she has a great team of people who work with her. And I was happy that everything seemed to go, like, everything got done early. You know, sometimes, like, if you get done on time, that's good. But, I mean, she decorated, she transformed the Next Gen Auditorium. It was so beautiful and elegant looking. And I don't know how many women, maybe 200, 220. Maybe
I think it was like 180, wasn't it? Is that right? Yes. Maybe 180, but that's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people there. Yeah. When you have tables that are decorated like they were. And she had a great speaker who was, Ruth Ann Weiss, who is Jake Weiss's aunt from the Texas area. She came and spoke and did a really good job. The food was great. You had all these men serving the women and these beautiful decorated cookies that we got to take home. And it was just a great day. Fun. Lots of fun giveaways.
You got to sing with your daughter.
I got to sing with my daughter. Lots of people went away with great prizes that was donated from the community.
Those are all donations,
All donated from the community. They're so generous. So Donna has a good name in the community, I would think, that people say, I'm going to give you product or give you, you know,
it's
services.
Quite a process to go through to get those donations and started 6 weeks ago with an official letter with all the things that, you know, companies, organizations want with regard to making some kind of a charitable donation. Mm-hmm. And so I really worked for Donna. I was kind of her
solicitor.
Well, somewhat. I mean, I helped her. She did a lot of it, but I helped her on some of it, and some other people helped. But no, just kind of being her her worker. You know, I was worked for her for.
Did she get a good nap?
Oh, wow. She's had a couple, actually. She's had a couple.
That's a big event to put on.
Yeah. It was. I love that we do stuff like that. Absolutely. You know, I think that is so important. Yeah. And I'm glad that it was successful, and you know, thank you very much, Donna Daniil.
That's right.
Good stuff. Okay. Hey, we've got something happening Friday night that it's not too late to sign up and be a part of. It's called Secret Church, and Dale, you've been a part of Secret Church, haven't you?
I have.
In the past?
Yeah. Yes.
This is David Platt. He's a preacher in the Washington D.C. area, McLean Bible Church, and he tries to help American Christians understand what's it like to be a Christian in Iran. Mm-hmm. What's it like to be a Christian in Afghanistan? So we gather at 6 p.m. and it's a 6 to 6.5 hour event. This year, the study focus is the book of Ruth. Last year, it was the book of Jonah, but there will also be a time of praying for the oppressed Christians and the oppressed church throughout the world. And not too late to sign up. Give me a shout, greg@secondchurch.com, or you can call the church office at
217-442-7306.
That's so good.
Now, my mom asked, she's not signed up, but she said, what if I wanted to come but could stay till the end? Do I have to stay to the end?
That's the Marla Taylor plan. She usually makes it till about 9:30. And I think that's great. I think that's wonderful. Okay. So absolutely.
You're not forced to stay there.
You're not forced to stay. say, I know a couple people, they have work obligations. They're not going to get there till about 8 o'clock. Last year, I was actually preaching for another church. I didn't get there till 9 o'clock. So,
But it's a free event?
It is. It is. It actually does cost, but because of the generosity of one of our DL sponsors, there is no cost to individuals.
Nice.
So,
it's good
stuff. Definitely. And then we've got the New Testament University coming up. Dr. Chad Ragsdale from Ozark Christian College is going to be with us. He's going to be preaching in all five services on the last Sunday of April, but then he's going to stick around that afternoon and do kind of a three-hour extended teaching on the book of Hebrews. Dale, I think the book of Hebrews is one of those books that's overwhelming for some people. You know?
Definitely.
In fact, I never taught or preached from Hebrews for like 25 years, honestly. Yes. I just stayed away from it. Yes. And then when I finally led, this was back in the Clinton days, I decided to lead my Sunday school class through it. I thought, man, what a dummy I've been, because it is really good, but it is kind of one of those things that's overwhelming. Chad, I think, is going to bring it down.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be really good.
You know, and if you have, if you even consider yourself to be a scholar of Hebrews, I would strongly encourage you to come listen because you're going to get a new kind of bent on that.
So it's not just for people in our church. It's open to anybody to come.
Anyone.
It's a free event.
Free event.
Do they sign up?
We like people to sign up, but we also have a lot of people that just show up. I think we're at about 75 right now, which means we're going to be in next gen with tables and chairs.
Nice.
We'll have plenty of room. Mm-hmm. I'm actually hoping that that's a rainy, stormy day so that people won't want to be outside, but it's awesome. And I love these opportunities. Mm-hmm. So,
talk about the food pack.
Yes, the IDES food pack is going to take place the last Saturday of the month. IDES is a wonderful organization. They help prepare emergency meals for oppressed and needy people throughout the world. And I think this year we're going to pack between 60 and 65,000 meals. Last year we hit 58,000. Mm-hmm. And again, this is another thing that doesn't cost anything. Our Palm Sunday offering was generous beyond generous. Mm-hmm. So all the meals have been
incredible.
Paid for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's fun to come out. One of the challenges we have as a church is we've got five services in two venues. Mm-hmm. So there are people that go to our church that I don't know. You know, I don't see week in, week out. This is an opportunity to literally be in the same room on a service project. You'll meet people that you've never met before. How long have we done the food pack? Has it happened for a long time, would you say?
It seems like it's been
years.
Gone a long time.
Yeah.
And Greg, I couldn't tell you. I couldn't give you the exact date on it, but I'd say six or seven years.
No, I would say 8 to 10, but
somewhere. Okay. Yeah.
The only thing is, you'll all look alike with your hairnet.
Yes. I love
Everybody wears the hairnet.
Yeah.
Because it's
the
sanitary.
The hairnets are awesome, right?
For sure.
That's good stuff. Hey, do you know the name Mark Driscoll?
Yes, I do.
So Mark Driscoll, probably, 10 years ago, I think he was still rolling 10 years ago, maybe 11 or 12 years ago, his church in the Seattle area, Mars Hill, was probably one of the most recognizable evangelical churches in America, multi-campus. Driscoll was on the speaking circuit. He kind of had this bravado about him, this boldness about him. And then it really began to kind of go south, and I'm not sure I'm recognizing this podcast, although I've listened to every episode of it, but the rise and fall of Mars Hill probably gives you more than you need to know about how that kingdom crumbled. But Mark Driscoll was back in the news this weekend. He was at a men's conference in Springfield, Missouri, the Stronger Men Conference, which I don't really know anything about, but they had opened their conference by having a man that I believe was a former male stripper that now lives for Jesus and took his shirt off and swallowed a sword. I can't say it with a straight face, but I guess it was just kind of, I don't even know what the purpose of that would be, but I guess it got all the guys really excited.
Well, he was on America's Got Talent or something.
Something along those lines. Yeah. So
Star attraction.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder, did he really swallow the sword or is this like a magic trick? But that's neither here nor there. But Driscoll got up Saturday morning. He was the first speaker of the day. And he really called the conference organizers on the carpet and talked about how the spirit of Jezebel was present. He got about 2 minutes into his tirade, and the host pastor and leader of the event got up on stage and kicked him off. And I've never heard of anything like that before.
Have you actually, is there a video?
There is a video, and I've watched the video, and Driscoll's going, and you can hear someone speaking from the front row, and he goes, okay, pastor, I'll submit to you. And he grabs his stuff and walks off. And then the pastor gets up and basically says that there's an appropriate way to handle this, and you should read Matthew 18, and what Driscoll did was wrong, and we're not going to have any of that, and we have nothing to apologize for. Now, I have a friend whose son-in-law was at the event and said what they're not talking about is the next day the two of them got up together on stage and publicly reconciled, and Driscoll shared, or maybe it was later that day, I'm not sure. But here's my question. Was Driscoll right? Was Driscoll in the right to call this out, or should he have just played along? I mean, what is the appropriate move in a situation along those lines?
You're the doctor. I'll let you know.
No, I definitely want to know what Stephanie thinks. I definitely want Stephanie's perspective on this as well.
Well, Greg, I wish I had more information on it. I feel like I'm commenting on something very limited.
Yeah.
But I would say, if Driscoll felt like something was inappropriate, then yeah, I think it's always good to speak the truth, but I think you should speak the truth in love.
Privately.
I think there's a tactful way to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm encouraged by the fact that there was reconciliation the next day.
Isn't it interesting that we're not hearing anything about the reconciliation?
Yeah, of course.
That's kind of sad, I guess.
Well, I think all the news outlets are interested in the sensationalism of whatever they can kind of come up with. But I mean, and then, you know, I guess I have a kind of a check too about, of having heard a lot of the podcasts regarding Mark Driscoll and the rise and fall of Mars Hill, it just really draws into question.
There's a lot of negative with him.
There's a lot of negative.
But I got to tell you, I think I'm with him on this.
Okay.
I really do. I mean, I might have done it slightly differently, but I think we live in a day and age where we are afraid to call out bad behavior. We're afraid to call out sin. You know, we're going to go with the flow. Steph, you look like you want to say something. What do you think?
I think if Jermaine Wilson would have come to our church this Sunday and he saw something that he didn't like and he publicly said it on the stage, I don't think that's the way to handle it. I think you can not like something.
Right.
But I think he should have given the host church the grace to say, I'm going to talk to this guy about this offstage.
Yeah, not bring it up in that moment.
I just don't think it's appropriate to walk into someone else's house and
call them out.
What they have planned.
Right.
If you don't have to like it, you can disagree with it, but I don't think that's the place to do it. That's my opinion, so I differ with you on that.
But you're welcome to your opinion.
And I think in a room full of men, I guess probably 50-50, maybe 50% of the guys thought, this guy, he's right, and maybe 50%.
What's interesting is when the host minister kicks Driscoll off the stage, you can hear people booing the home minister. Kind of like, we came here to hear him, let him speak. Mm-hmm. But I bring this up because, I teach this Bible study, the Oasis Bible study, and this week is one of the more yucky passages in the book of Judges. There's a lot of yuck in the book of Judges, but it's the account of Jephthah. I don't know if you guys know you got to hear some of it yesterday, but Jephthah was a guy that didn't grow up going to Sunday school in the synagogue. He was hanging out with a gang of scoundrels, basically, but he becomes Israel's leader. And right before he goes into battle, he makes this really foolish vow. He says, God, Lord, if you give me this victory, the first thing that comes out of my house to greet me, I will sacrifice as a burnt offering to you. And he wins the victory. And he comes back and his daughter, his only child, is the first one. And the text says that he did to his daughter as he said that he would do. Now, that talks about the foolishness of a vow that, you know, was made rashly. But also, he didn't have to keep that because it directly violates God's word. But it's the challenge of having a really strong faith but very little theology or a weak theology. And I think that's 2024 American Christianity in many places, not everywhere, but I think there's a lot of people that are on fire for Jesus, but they are not students of God's word. They are not theologically savvy. They are not doctrinally dug in. And you can have the strongest faith in the world, but if you don't have something to back that up, are you really making the choices you should make? So I don't know. Just a thought. Dale,
it's
you
good
look like
yeah. I think that combination leads to bad orthodoxy.
Yeah.
And I would agree with your premise there.
If you want to hear more about Jephthah, the judge, I'm teaching tonight at 6 p.m. in the Next Gen Auditorium. All are welcome. Hey, we're going to go to break. When we come back, I want to talk about hallucinogens. Do you know anything about hallucinogens?
Not personally.
Okay. And I also want to talk about a tiny house. Steph, oh, yeah. Have you ever thought about living in a tiny house?
Every day I think about living in a tiny house.
You're listening to Direct Line with Greg and Steph and our friend Dale Daniil. It's Wednesday, April 17, and we'll be right back after this.
Lakewood Insurance Agency can fulfill your farm and business insurance needs. As a result of our expertise in the insurance industry, we carefully examine your current coverages and recommend options best for your operation. Whether we insure you domestically or directly with Lloyd's of London, Lakewood has the experience to provide the best insurance for you. Service is most important in our agency. Bill and Mary Lou Knight and Justin Silver have your best interests at heart. Find Lakewood Insurance Agency on Facebook or call 217-260-5647.
Robinson Chiropractic wants you to know that you're never too young or old to benefit from chiropractic care. Robinson Chiropractic can help increase your mobility and range of motion. Plus, regular alignments just make you feel better. Come get acquainted today. Robinson Chiropractic is located at the corner of Vermillion and Poland Road in Danville, also in Hoopston, Westville, and Watsika. Make an appointment today at robchiro.com. That's robchiro.com.
You want to be confident that your investments are working for you. Wouldn't it be nice to know that you don't have to go far for the guidance to help make that happen? Dean Crandall works right here in Danville at Morgan Stanley's local office. As your financial advisor, Dean can help create a wealth plan and help you manage your investments. And he can help you work towards a comfortable retirement too. To make an appointment with Dean Crandall, call 217-477-0025. Morgan Stanley Smith Marney LLC. Member SIPC.
Introducing Aunt Bee. She is Sunset's new comfort dog. Not only will she comfort our guests, but she will also answer questions regarding youth and funerals. I'm Judy Fraser. I would suggest that you email Aunt Bee today.
Did you know that by planning your funeral or cremation ahead of time, you can lock in today's prices and make affordable monthly payments? I'm Judy Fraser, and if pre-planning is on your mind, I would suggest that you make just one phone call, Sunset Funeral Homes and Cremation Centers.
You're listening to Direct Line on 1490 WDAN.
Well, welcome back to Direct Line. It's Stephanie with Greg and Dr. Dale Daniil, and we have about 7 minutes to wrap it up. What do you want to talk about?
Well, hallucinogens. So Joe Rogan, do you know that name?
Yes.
Joe Rogan.
Yes.
I think he's the number one podcaster in America. And I don't know that anyone would ever mistake Joe Rogan for a gospel preacher, per se.
Right.
But, you know, I do think that there are times I resonate with some of what he's had to say.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a guest on a couple weeks ago, and he floated the idea, speaking to journalist David Holthouse, 2 weeks ago on April 2nd, that he thinks that Moses and Ezekiel, who both record supernatural experiences with the Lord, were under the influence of hallucinogens, and that it really wasn't necessarily a supernatural experience, but it was the mushroom that they were eating or whatever they were smoking. And, you know, I've heard a lot of crazy stuff. I've never heard that theory before. So,
I haven't either, but you know, it would make sense from a secularist who is trying to explain the paranormal,
yeah,
or the supernatural.
Yeah,
it that would be a logical conclusion.
Yeah,
you know.
But in full disclosure, I've never done psychedelics. I never will intentionally, you know, unless someone, you know, tricks me. So I don't know what that experience is like.
Right.
There are some hallucinogens that I've heard are being used in the mental health arena to help people with really extreme mental health conditions. So I'll throw that in there. But Steph, what do you think about Joe Rogan's theory about Moses and the burning bush, that he was just smoking something?
Well, I kind of agree with Dale. I mean, it is a logical explanation. I mean, when you think about Jacob, who wrestled with God and broke his
socket,
hip, but something happened to his hip. I mean, a legitimate physical thing happened to him. And if you didn't believe in God and angels, you'd think, well, that is crazy. Yeah. But my question is, when did people start using hallucinogens?
Yeah. You've asked me that a couple times. I have no idea.
The Bible talks about alcohol.
The Bible talks about wine and beer, I believe. And the sin of drunkenness.
But
I'm
curious to know when they started. I bet they were doing that stuff back then.
I don't know.
I don't know.
And then here's the other question that I can't get out of my mind. I probably shouldn't ask this question on air. Our buddy Daryl Paddock is a big mushroom hunter. You know, I mean, like, he lives. In fact, I think that's
4 bags he got yesterday.
Yeah. So here's my question. How do you make sure you're getting the legitimate, what do they call them? Morels. Yeah. And make sure you're not getting the hallucinogens.
What
do the hallucinogens look like?
I have no idea. And that's why I don't go mushroom hunting because I just know I'd pick the wrong thing.
Now, do you like to eat mushrooms?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Steph?
No, thank you. Yeah. My mother loves to go mushroom hunting. In fact, Daryl talked about taking her yesterday and he didn't do it. And I know she would have loved to go, but I don't even like the hunt.
Yeah.
If I don't find it within 5 minutes, I'm like, this is a waste of
time. I want nothing to do with the hunt. But my first summer here, I think it was spring, actually, we were in the middle of COVID. And, you know, Daryl had been talking about it, and I was just intrigued about it. And I heard this at my door, and it was Daryl. He brought me this big bag of mushrooms.
Ah.
And, you know, Marla's like, oh, that's disgusting. And then,
but do you know how much that big bag of mushrooms is worth?
Big bucks, yeah. So we shared with our neighbors who were big mushroom people. Okay. But Kim Paddock told Marla how to make them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, those
breaded
were good.
Them and deep fried them.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But you're not eating them. Is that
no
what you're saying?
Way.
Oh, yeah. They
no,
were good.
Thank you.
That was
they're
our
good.
Supper that night.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway. So Joe Rogan, maybe he's smoking something. I don't know. But I don't think that Ezekiel and Moses were high on hallucinogens.
You do have to give it to Joe Rogan. His last statement, I'm not going to read these words because they're inappropriate.
Yes.
But he did say it is a blanked up world we live in.
Yes.
We need Jesus.
But right.
For real. Like, if you came back now, like Jesus, if you're thinking about coming back right now, now's a good time. Now's a good time. We're kind of blanked.
Yeah, right.
So
that's
true.
That's what I'm saying. There's things he says that are not all bad.
That's true.
I got a final quote here. Tell me who said this.
Okay.
If we believe the Bible, we must accept the fact that in the old days, God and his angels came to men in their sleep and made themselves known in dreams. You know who said that?
Who said that?
Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln.
Did
there you go.
Did you just
go.
Find
Honest
that on
Abe.
The fly?
Way to go.
Wow. I'm
Way
impressed.
To go. That's awesome. So we've lived in Danville 4.5 years. And in the time that we've lived here, our house value is up $63,000 from what we paid for it in 2019. Mm-hmm. I know, Steph, you've talked about how same reality for you. So I'm wondering, should I lean into the Amazon tiny home $19,999? They deliver it.
Well, and now it's down to 18,000.
Really? So they haven't sold all of them?
It says here in this article, and they will give you an additional $1,000 off coupon if you're a Prime member. So that would take it down to $17,999 for a tiny home.
13 million people watched as this dude unloaded his tiny house and set it up. Have you ever been in a tiny home, Dale?
I have not.
Yeah,
no.
I haven't either.
I'm intrigued by it.
Yeah. I'm thinking that might be a good plan. I don't know that my wife's going to go for it. I think she wants a place for Janner and the kids when they come for Christmas. But
I'd say if our tiny home was the cabin on a cruise ship,
there you go.
With a balcony, I could do
that.
Well,
there are some people that do that. They just take cruises all year round, and that's where they live.
That's exactly right.
Well, for people like my children,
yes.
I mean, my daughter. I'm like, how in the world are they ever going to be able to afford a home?
That's right.
In America. Now.
That's right.
Young people, how can you ever come up with the down payment and then provide an income that's going to, you know, the
Amazon
bank is going
to the rescue.
And they deliver.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
You're living in a house. They have to deliver it to a house. But what do you do? Put it up in your backyard
I
for
have
your
no
kid
idea.
Or what?
You got room in your backyard?
I have room for lots of tiny homes in my backyard.
You know, my kids.
Maybe I should do that and start charging rent for the land.
You could do it. Airbnb. There you go. Hmm. Wow. Well, my kids on their first anniversary rented a tiny home and they thought it was fantastic. Now that they're having kids, that's probably not going to continue on, but interesting times. Well, Dale, thank you so much for being with us today. It's
my
been
pleasure.
A blessing.
Thank you.
Thank you for your work with CORE
thank
you for bringing Second Chance Month to Second Church. On behalf of Stephanie and Greg and Dale and Garrett, the sound guy, we are blessed that you join us today. Again, check out Second Church this Sunday. We'll be rolling out the CORE reentry video. I'm going to be sharing more about how really anyone can get involved in prison ministry in one way or another, and join Stephanie next week. I'm going to be in Washington, D.C., but Stephanie's going to be at the helm. I'm sure it's a show you won't want to miss. Take care, and we'll see you next week.